Summer is heating up with EverPlay Sports and Social League. Get in on the fun with Super Rec Kickball Tuesdays at M Avenue Ballpark, or join the classic Wednesday or Thursday night kickball at both M Avenue and B Avenue. Prefer volleyball? We've got indoor mix and match Sundays at Providence Park, Monday indoor at Tri-City, and sand volleyball Tuesdays and Thursdays at Pollywog. Swing into softball Sundays or Mondays at T.S. Martin, or go big with hardball Wednesdays at Seven Oaks Park. Like a strike of fun? Hit bowling Tuesdays at Bolero, or toss some bags with cornhole Wednesdays at Jay's Corner. Score goals with turf soccer Mondays at Recreation Athletics, and Wednesday soccer at B Avenue and Bray Park. And don't miss Pickleball Monday at Casey Pickleball Complex. Registration is open now through May 21st at everplaysocial.com. Also mark your calendars for the 10th Masters of Putt-Putt, Friday, August 22nd. Registration by August 21st. EverPlay, your league, your social life, your summer of fun. Visit everplaysocial.com for registration and details. So I wanted to talk about, did you all hear about this woman that she died? She's been brain dead for several months now, and she's basically an incubator for a baby that is, I guess, being grown inside of her. She's completely brain dead. Her family has, this is in Georgia, where the heartbeat law in Georgia doesn't allow for the family to have any control over the well-being of this woman. And so she's basically just operating as sort of like an incubator. I guess it's really the only word to describe it.
She's like the alien xenomorph queen.
I didn't know we had this technology. Like, I know that like a baby can be born sometimes, but like she was 9 weeks pregnant when whatever it is that happened to her that caused her to be
the situation.
Was it an accident or something?
Oh,
she had a brain clot. That's what it was. It was a brain clot.
Yeah, it was clots.
And they're basically keeping her alive in order to have this baby be born. And I am completely perplexed. Who's going to take care of this baby? Like, I know father.
Oh.
There's the father's there, but okay. Like they've already acknowledged that the child, the fetus, the child, the baby, whatever your preference of calling it, has fluids on the brain. So there is not a likelihood that this child is going to be born viably. The health of this child is going to, if survival is even available, it's going to be unbelievably expensive for this child to live, and the care that's going to be required is just unfathomable. And I don't understand why you would do this, one, to the family, two, to the child, and three, to the memory of this woman.
Yeah.
So I come in living in Florida and growing up there, we had this Terry Schiavo case about a woman in a persistent vegetative state, and her husband wanted to have her taken off, and her parents wanted to keep her going. But I mean, so my question is, and I don't know if anybody knows this, once she delivers the baby, will they remove her from?
I have to assume
life-saving measures.
I have to assume she will no longer be on. You know, they won't be forcing her heart to beat like that. You know,
So I mean, this is a tough one. I mean, because there is that part of me who's like, well, I mean, what a great world we live in that we can keep this woman alive.
Yeah.
So that she can deliver this baby for this baby's father to have this lasting memory. But it's tough when you know you're going to deliver, you know, maybe there'll be lifelong issues. Maybe the baby won't even survive the birth. But man, this one's a tough one. I don't, you know, my answer is leaning towards keep her going and let's deliver the baby.
Okay.
I know that might be a surprise for some people to hear from me, but
it really depends on if she had anything to say beforehand, which I don't think she had the chance to. I'll be honest, I only read headlines and quick summaries of that story.
You don't do it, you know, if you're in your 20s and 30s, you don't have advanced directives and wills and things like that.
Yeah.
You're just too young. Yeah. You don't who was thinking about that when they were young?
Essentially, the whole issue right now is the fact that the state is the one that's completely in control of the situation. The family has zero respect from the state in regards to the treatment of this body. You know, I mean, the woman's alive technically, but she's
no brain activity.
Yeah, there's no brain activity whatsoever, and it's just it's a really difficult situation because yeah, of course, if the baby if the baby is born and is healthy and everything, then kudos to the state of Georgia. My concern, though, is that they've created this situation with this heartbeat law that is going to wind up being more costly for people. And ultimately, I think that's still part of the end goal. I think that the idea of forcing people to have babies when knowing that the state is not going to step in and make any assistance, there won't be any sort of governmental assistance for anything when it comes to raising children in the state of Georgia or South Carolina or North Carolina or any of these other states that have these horrendous laws that basically make it so that we can't make decisions for ourselves anymore. The Republican Party for decades, throughout all of my adolescence and into my 20s and 30s, the Republican Party was about small business, small government. The government stays out of my business and I pay my taxes. So I do what I'm supposed to do. They stay out of my business. They do what they're supposed to do. And we just continue to see this marching on and on and on towards larger and larger government by the Republican Party. And I don't hear the Democrats saying anything about making government smaller.
Yeah. And right. So I'm always against government intrusion into our healthcare decisions, which this is that, right? The government is never gonna like steward that well. They're right. Never gonna be like the ones you want overseeing your medical decisions, whether it be, you know, with as it concerns abortion or even something like this, a euthanasia issue with a baby involved. And, we need less government, especially no government in our healthcare choices. I mean, Henry McMaster does not belong in my doctor's office room with me, you know?
Right.
And so, I guess for most things, the government shouldn't really, I believe in small government when it comes to the individual, but I believe in big government when it comes to any sort of social program.
Yeah, I agree too.
Supporting this great society we've created, it requires like an output of social charity, social welfare, and we should be committed to that. And I totally agree with you, Bill.
Like my patriotism is
that's where I'm okay with government helping and getting involved. It's when you know that individual level decision making. I feel like the government has no business in that.
Yeah, my patriotism, I would say, would mainly come from sky high, amazing social programs to assist Americans. We don't have that.
Like the USAID program.
Yeah, 100%. Sure. We are the richest country on the planet. Like Bill said in the episode, poverty is absolutely something that can be fixed. I believe that homelessness is absolutely something that can be fixed.
Yep.
And
poverty is the number. If we fix it, that we
problem solving. I would argue we gotta like be focused issues. On long term problem solving. And what we're doing now, I mean, again, as an engineer, I look at things that way. You leave things better than you found them. You look at what failed and figure out a way to avoid failing that way again. And, you know, Republican or Democrat, and because I'm a Democrat, I see it happen with the Democrats more. They just love like retreading the same failed, you know, strategies.
I would take it a step further. I would say that what I see is that they're trying to compromise, that they're more focused on compromising with the right. That's what I would say. The compromise. Like, you can't say, I'm a centrist, so we've got to find somewhere in the middle between no KKK and the KKK. The middle of that's going to be evil, no matter what you do.
Yeah.
And when it comes
there's
to
no
poverty.
There's no sprinkle of KKK that I'm okay with.
Exactly.
We're going to go with only 10% KKK.
That's what they do. That's what they do.
It's same flavor, but tastes it's closer to Dr. Pepper than Diet Dr. Pepper, whatever.
There's certain things we can compromise on, but there are certain things we can't. And the Democrats think you can do it with everything. They try to meet in the middle somewhere, and their middle becomes the right, and it keeps going and going and going until you get Freedom Caucus Republicans that think Democrats plan school shootings to keep guns. To advocate for gun control. By the way, I know a representative in the state house that has actually said this, and I have him on camera saying it. So, but either way, yeah, that's poverty is, in my mind, if we solve poverty, we solve most of America's issues. Not Agreed. All, but a lot of them.
A lot of our child abuse related stuff and child neglect would be taken care of if we take care of poverty.
Banning, I absolutely believe that banning abortions in the United States is only going to create more poverty.
Absolutely. More unwanted babies, more potential for child abuse and neglect. It's not pretty what this can spawn.
Well, thank you, fellas. I appreciate you enduring my my last segment.
Bonus
10 extra minutes.
That's right. 10 extra minutes I took from Bill's life. Thanks, fellas. The preceding podcast is a product of Big Media LLC and is copyright 2025, all rights reserved.